Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 41. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, Sarah Van Gelder, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine and author of Sustainable Happiness. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It is not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It is so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the five life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre, and I've discussed those standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, to live justly, and to celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The three parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video, and links are given in the show notes on our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. I'm glad you're with me today from Paso Robles, California. Sarah Van Gelder has been a colleague and at a distance for some 15 years. She and author David Corton founded Yes 18 years ago, and now, in addition to an excellent award-winning quarterly magazine, Yes has a dynamic website and reaches out through social media. Under the banner Powerful Ideas, Practical Actions, Yes Magazine reframes the biggest problems of our time in terms of their solutions. Online and in print, Yes outlines a path forward with in-depth analysis, tools for citizen engagement, and stories about real people working for a better world. Yes focuses on peace and justice, people power, the planet, happiness, a new economy we could call commonomics, and climate in our hands. Yes produces resources for teachers and runs an online store. Yes is a nonprofit, independent, reader-supported, without advertising, produced through the Positive Futures Network. And now, here's Sarah.
Well, I'm so pleased to say, Sarah, that I have been familiar with Yes Magazine since its beginning, when I headed the organization called Alternatives for Simple Living, and now its successor organization, Simple Living Works. But on a personal note, I am pleased to say that Yes is my daughter's favorite magazine. She's a...
Oh, is that right?
Yes, it is. She's was a Peace Corps volunteer in Kenya, and then has just finished an 8-year stint as a park ranger in the Grand Canyon. And so I'm pleased that she likes Yes Magazine as much as I do.
Well, that's so good to hear. And, you know, we often hear that from people, that they give it to their parents, or their parents give it to their kids as gifts, and that's just really lovely to hear.
Now, I've noticed, Sarah, that you've changed your tagline. If I remember correctly, back in the beginning, Yes Magazine was the magazine of positive futures, and now it's Yes Magazine, Powerful Ideas, Practical Solutions. Am I remembering correctly?
Powerful Ideas, Practical Actions. David Corton and myself, who started Yes Magazine, and then after a couple of years, we managed to persuade Fran to join us as executive director, and she and Dave moved out to Bainbridge Island from New York City. Fran had been at the Ford Foundation up until then. The two of them bought a house on Bainbridge Island and moved here, and Fran has been executive director ever since. But I've been the editor right from day one.
Very good. Now, what's interesting about Yes is that it doesn't fit in any particular category. I mean, most magazines you think of, oh, that's a woman's magazine, or oh, that's a political magazine, or a mass circulation magazine. I get a very strong feeling that it's progressive in its tone, but that it deals with a lot of social justice issues.
Yeah, I mean, instead of being pegged into, you know, or pigeonholed into some particular political view, our perspective is that our world is facing some enormous challenges. Those are challenges of social justice, huge inequality, mass numbers of people, especially people of color, who are excluded from the benefits of our society. So we have those kinds of equity and social challenges. We have the challenges of the environment and the increasingly dire outlook in terms of the climate, in terms of ocean acidification, in terms of the extinction of species. And we have also the third dimension that we always weave in, which is the crisis in meaning. And what does it mean to be alive today? And how do we have the kinds of deep relationships and meaningful ways of life that really nourish us? And so we're always looking at those three things, and they actually turn out to be remarkably interrelated. For example, the book that we just published, Sustainable Happiness, Live Simply, Live Well, Make a Difference, you know, because it starts with a critique of consumerism, because consumerism degrades the planet. It degrades our way of life and our sense of meaning, because we get too distracted from the things that really give us meaning. And it also degrades the social equity, because of the pressure to go for low wage forms of production that can feed that consumerist habit. So for all of those reasons, those three just keep interconnecting. So each issue of the magazine is on a different theme, and each one of them may emphasize one or another of those areas, but we really look at how they're all really intertwined, and more importantly, what people are doing to resolve those issues or to come up with a new paradigm or a new way of life or a new approach to economics, or, you know, what we can do about the prison system, or how we can learn to get along as a multicultural nation more effectively.
Simple Living Works, and my organization, is an overtly faith-based organization. Our mission is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. I don't perceive that YES is a faith-based publication, but I definitely see a strong spiritual focus there, especially on the meaning element.
That's right. I think that's that we want to be accessible and to draw in people of any faith tradition, and also people who would not describe themselves as people of faith, but who care about the larger well-being of the planet, of humanity, of their communities, of their families. So, you know, if you're really only concerned about how you're going to get ahead, YES Magazine might not be a place you'll get the information you want. But if you're one of, you know, what I believe is most of our population who actually are really concerned about the direction things are going, and want a better world, not only for themselves, but for future generations and for all the communities that make up the community of life on our planet, then I think you will find really, really meaningful and interesting material at yesmagazine.org and in our quarterly print magazine. Because what we're doing is we're focusing in on those people who are really thinking deeply and acting in profound ways. That's why we have that new tagline, powerful ideas and practical actions, because we're looking at that nexus for where people are taking on these huge issues, but in really practical ways, making things happen, making a difference.
It's so encouraging to me, Sarah, when I look at your website, the what you call the voices of YES. These are people, a number of them are young adults. And this is what we have been trying to do in the voluntary simplicity movement, is to find and encourage the young adults who are spreading the message of voluntary simplicity. So I see quite a few young faces in your crew also.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that we found is that this millennial generation is inventing their own form of simplicity. They may do it coming from a different life experience than we do. Some of them are coming into it because of the very difficult economic situation they came into as young adults, and Many of them graduated from college with enormous debt loads and difficulty finding good paying jobs. So some of them, it may not be voluntary simplicity, but some of them have found really creative ways of rethinking what's important. So, for example, driving a car is far less considered a necessity among this generation than it was when I was coming of age. I think there's a lot more people who are happier in simpler living situations. They don't feel the need to strive to have a big McMansion in the suburbs. And in fact, they're even questioning whether that's really a source of happiness when it comes down to it, whether having all that stuff and all those huge oversized houses actually lead to any greater well-being. So I think they're coming of age in a time that a lot of those values that had been part of the American dream are really being questioned, and they're creating some really fascinating alternative ways of thinking about how they want to live. You know, for example, a lot of them are getting very interested in farming. You know, there's a back to the land movement that's both young farmers looking to pick up some of the farming from the folks that are retiring now, but also in the middle of urban areas, they're looking at how do you take urban neighborhoods that have been food deserts, where the only food you could get was at the local liquor store or convenience store, you know, very unhealthy, highly processed foods. How do you actually bring fresh fruits and vegetables right into the middle of those cities and engage people in the whole process of growing and harvesting and processing that food?
Being raised on a cattle and grain ranch in California, I'm very encouraged by that movement. Yes, indeed. Now, I noticed that you just have a beautiful website. It's just glorious, and I'm glad to hear from you by Twitter and by Facebook and by email messages. One thing I noticed, though, is that you don't use, as far as I can tell, podcasting or videos on YouTube. Is that a conscious decision, or is that something you're looking forward to doing in the future to reach more young adults?
You know, we would love to do more of that, and the constraint is resources. Right now we have actually a remarkably small number of people who produce the content that you see in Yes Magazine, in our quarterly magazine, which is 100% content. There's no advertising at all. So we have, you know, 64 pages of just really fabulous articles, and who produce all the content that's on our website. And we just don't have the resources to expand beyond that and do it well. So it's certainly something that's been on our list, and occasionally we've been able to pull together the resources to do a video here or an audio piece there. And we are looking at expanding more in that direction. But right now we're resource constrained.
Well, I noticed that you are and have been a nonprofit, independent, and reader supported. Without the advertising, do you also get help from, say, foundation grants?
We do get a few foundation grants. We have thousands of people who give us a little bit of money, $5, $10 a month, which makes a huge difference in our being able to do the work we do and to do it advertisement free. We have some donors who make larger commitments than that, and that makes a huge difference. A few small foundations, but it's interesting that on the more progressive side of things, the foundation world has been reluctant to provide sustained funding to media. It's kind of interesting that on the right, they sort of, for whatever reason, they believe that their media needs to be funded forever, not just to make their money from advertising or something of that sort. But progressive funders have often seen media as something that should fund itself. And we value our independence tremendously. We value that we don't have to go to advertisers with our hat out and make compromises in terms of the content we cover to meet their requirements. So we are, we just value that tremendously. So we found ways to be frugal in our own operation in order to make sure that we can pay our bills.
Well, having been a professional beggar for public radio for 18 years, I can respect that very much. I can understand the compromises that one is tempted to make, you know, because of advertisers. So I really wish you well in that. I noticed that.
Thank you. And we have had tremendous support from our readers, and we just totally appreciate, you know, people, as I mentioned, people who signed up. We call it dedicated friends, and they give us anywhere from $5, $10, some $25 a month. And that form of funding is just perfect for us because it allows us to stay accountable to our readers, which is just what we want. And to some of our friends who understand what we're trying to do in the world and have the resources to make larger contributions.
Now, we earlier talked briefly about David Corton. He's published a number of very popular books, and he has a new one, I understand, called Change the Story, Change the Future, A Living Economy for a Living World. So glad to see that he has a new book out. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
A little bit, but as you say, it's brand new, and I've only read sections of it, so I think it would be better if you actually spoke to him about it. What it's about is it picks up on Thomas Berry's work. As you may know, Thomas Berry spoke a lot about a new story and how important it was to have a new story of our society. So instead of being driven by the story that, for example, that money is what's really important and we all ought to be out chasing down the last dollar, both as individuals, but also as a society, that we ought to be out trying to muster up economic growth at whatever cost, that there's a different story, which is that the natural world is what's the foundation for all life, and human communities is the foundation of our well-being, and money should only exist to the degree it serves us as human beings and serves the planet. So it's really looking at that new story of how do we rethink what we think is really important as a society, and allow that to guide us and to inspire us instead of the story now, which is that, you know, we're going to be better off if we have more money.
Let's move on and talk about your new book, Sarah. As you mentioned earlier, the book is Sustainable Happiness, Live Simply, Live Well, Make a Difference. Now, I don't think of Yes Magazine as being a simple living magazine. You know, we have some faux simple living magazines around, like Real Simple, that pretend to be about simple living. But I'm really glad to see that that's part of your mission and part of your new book.
Well, thank you. You know, it's interesting that we've never sort of called ourselves a simple living magazine, because we see the way that we choose, each of us chooses to live our lives as part of a larger picture, and so we're interested in all the dimensions of that. But our very first issue was called Getting Free, Moving Beyond the Consumer Culture, and it had quite a bit about simplicity. And since then, we've done issues on things like sustainable happiness, like the book is called, on happy families, on on sustainable food, on the human cost of stuff, so, and new livelihoods, how people can make a living without selling their souls. So, you know, we've done a number of pieces that have focused on what it means to live well and live simply, and again, in practical ways, you know, so that people can pick up this book or pick up one of these issues of the magazine, and they'll get some very specific things that they could do today, as well as the bigger picture of how that change makes life better for everyone.
Excellent. Well, there's so many well-known thinkers and writers in this book. Now, I'm just curious, is this a compendium of articles from Yes in the past, or is it a blend of recycled material and new material? How did you put this delightful book together?
Well, thank you for saying that. Well, what we did is we decided that after 18 years of publishing articles on this topic, along with other topics, but certainly coming back to this theme over and over again, that we had some really wonderful material to draw from. So I wrote an original introduction, and we wrote an original conclusion to the book. But all the articles, as you note, are ones that we have published in Yes Magazine in the past. We started off as a team, and we compiled our very favorite articles, just the ones that we really loved from these 18 years. And we ended up with well over 100 in a long spreadsheet. And then we had a difficult task of narrowing it down to the ones that we thought we could fit in a book and that would tell a story together of what sustainable happiness is and how we get some, and what difference it makes in the world. So that's the genesis of this book. So what you see here are some of our very favorite pieces from 18 years of publishing.
Okay, I'm going to embarrass you now, Sarah, and ask you to be more specific. Over your 18 years of experience there, can you give us one or two highlights, gems that just really glow in your mind? Or, on the other hand, maybe one or two really embarrassing moments that you can now laugh at?
Well, I'll give you a couple of gems out of this book because that's what's right in front of me. One of the pieces that I absolutely love is one by a guy named Richard Wilkinson, who you may be familiar with. He wrote a book called The Spirit Level. And this in the Sustainable Happiness book, we have an interview with him. And he is an epidemiologist. He studies well-being as a doctor. And his research was looking at the relationship of poverty and unhappiness and wealth and happiness. And he found there wasn't a strong correlation there between those states. Instead, what he found was there was a huge correlation between inequality and unhappiness. The inequality is as dangerous to our health. An unequal society is as dangerous to our health as smoking is. It reduces life expectancy. It tends to put young people at risk for all sorts of risky behaviors. It creates a greater incidence of mental health issues and so forth. And it was so interesting to see that, because I had always assumed that in a stratified society, the people at the top would be doing just fine. It would just be the people at the bottom who would be suffering. But he basically says the entire society suffers and has the research to demonstrate it. So that was a really big aha for me, and one that I really appreciate. Another is much more of a interior piece by Matteo Ricard, who is the French translator for the Dalai Lama and a Buddhist thinker very much in his own right. And he wrote a piece for for an issue we did a while back, and the piece that we reprinted is called "This Is Your Life, Show Up for It Mindfully." And, I've certainly encountered the philosophy of mindfulness and read Thich Nhat Hanh and so forth, but I just found this particular piece just really very inspiring, both very inspiring at the level of abstraction, but also very very immediately tangibly doable, when he talks about what it means for example, to reflect on the fact that our most joy-filled moments, like walking on the beach or like looking up at the stars, those are the moments when we're thoroughly in the present moment. And, what does that mean if that's such a simple idea, is that just being in the present moment, completely, can bring such joy and nourishment to our lives? How can we continue to foster that? And by doing that, then, how can we let go of some of the things that are so difficult, like anger and desire for revenge or desire for more stuff? And that stuff, is stuff that is depleting the resources of the planet. So, there's all these repercussions that come about when you find your joy and your meaning in those kinds of simple moments.
Well, thank you. Those are indeed stunning examples, Sarah. I wouldn't mind sharing a couple of humorous examples, if you don't mind. I don't want to embarrass you, but I have found, for example, that a book you published about 5 years ago is called This Changes Everything. And it was about the Occupy movement. And of course, Naomi Klein has just published recently a book called This Changes Everything. So there's some room for confusion there, I imagine. But
it was interesting when Naomi Klein came to Town Hall in Seattle to give her talk about her new book, which is excellent, by the way. I highly recommend it. When she came to Town Hall, one of the first questions she got from the audience was, I think Yes Magazine already published a book by that name. And Naomi Klein's actually in that book. So, you know, people don't own book titles and they get reused all the time.
And the second example is that there is another Yes Magazine, which is an entertainment magazine that focuses on beauty and fashion and that kind of thing. And they have a presence on YouTube and what have you. So I really wouldn't want anybody to confuse the two Yes Magazines.
I think that one's out of the Philippines. Yeah, I remember seeing that. And there's also a group that we do feel associated with, although there's no formal connection, which is Youth for Environmental Sanity. And we've known them. They've known us for years. They do great work.
So in that case, YES is an acronym for them.
For them, they use it as an acronym. We don't use it as an acronym.
Right. Well, Sarah, I'd like to give you a chance to share anything else that's on your mind with our listeners today.
Well, I'd just like to encourage people to check out our website, yesmagazine.org, and there's a free email newsletter that goes out once a week, and the sign-up is right on the front page. And what it does is it tells you the very best stories that we've published that week, because every single day we're posting new material, as you mentioned, a lot of it by young people, a lot of it very current, on these big topics of how people are taking action and rethinking the way that we're living and creating a better world. So I just want to encourage your listeners to sign up for our email newsletter. We are ad-free. Everything that we do is for the nonprofit purpose, which is to help contribute to making the world a better place. And we encourage you to check it out, and if you like it, to support us.
Now, do you have like a brain trust that puts together this quarterly magazines? Do you get together and have a planning meeting? How does this happen?
We have a smart staff, so that's part of how we do it. And we're constantly talking to people in all sorts of different sectors of society. We go to a lot of conferences. We ring up people that are in touch with what's happening in various social movements. We're scanning the new books as they come out and other websites. So each issue is on a theme. So for each issue, we're looking at where is there a powerful opportunity for something big to change? Where is there a new shift happening? Or where is there a new desire, a new zeitgeist? And then we'll spend a lot of time, again, reaching out to the people within that arena who are the experts and drawing them in and getting them to help us frame the issue, to write articles for it that focus, again, on the possibility. Some of our writers are actually people who focus mainly on a critique, and we'll say to them, okay, got it. You know, this is a problem. Could you write for us what you think should be done about it? And what you see happening, where you see the new possibilities. So sometimes we actually push people a little bit out of their comfort zone to get them to take that next step. Because so many books about, you know, our society, so many of them end with, and somebody really ought to do something about that. Or, you know, get on board and make a difference. You know, something very vague and very hard to do anything with. So we always switch that over and say, okay, we can spend 5% of our magazine pages on the problem, but we really want to explore the solutions. We really want to see where to go with this. So help us do that. So those are the kinds of dialogues that we have, and it's just so fun. And, you know, in that sense, our brain trust is huge.
Well, Sarah, as you and I both know, Utney Reader puts out a list of awards each year for independent magazines. And I've seen your name, Yes Magazine, on that list of awards. So I'm going to give you a chance to brag a little bit if you like.
Oh, sure. We got an award for general excellence. I don't recall off the top of my head which year that was, but we were the top award winner in the last few years. And we've also been awarded for social and political coverage, I believe. So yeah, what we don't do is we don't spend a lot of our scarce staff time going out and applying for all the magazine awards that one has to apply for and donate a huge fee or come up with a huge fee in order to enter various different competitions. We kind of like to do that because it would be great to get our name out more, but we just so far we've been focusing our time on the content and not so much on winning recognition for it. But the nice thing about UTNY is you don't have to apply. They just look around and see who's doing the work. And we were honored to be recognized by them for general excellence.
You've been listening to my conversation with Sarah Van Gelder, co-founder and editor-in-chief of Yes Magazine. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to feedback@simplelivingworks.org. or simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. Also comment on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. All month on the Simple Living Works blog, I'm providing free alternative resources for the season of Lent, combined with daily nudges on Twitter and LinkedIn. In response to my blog, Lent Preview Week 1, Patricia B. Wood said, "Love your ideas and the drawings you use." Thank you, Patricia. Time to wrap up Episode 41 of Simple Living Works. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will through the iTunes or Stitcher or your favorite podcast service. We'd love to get to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to the blogs we produce new each week. Subscriptions are free and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can subscribe to our other podcast on iTunes. It's called The Common Good Podcast. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. See details in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click About. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. Learn to live simply so others can live.